Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, and I'm here with the incomparable Father Rob Hagen, Augustinian priest, and much more than that. There are those who he ministers to. We got a great hour, folks. I've had some unbelievable guests, but none have excited me as much as this guy. And he's incredibly busy, and it's been humbling just to have him here and for him to join us here. So before we begin, as always, we'll begin the hour in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Father Rob and I gather here for the next hour of faith and fellowship, I ask that our thoughts are your thoughts, that our words are your words, and that when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father Rob Hagen, Augustinian, is in his 18th year at Villanova, and he currently has been the Senior Associate Athletic Director for how long, Father Rob?
Probably the last 4 years.
4 years, okay. He oversees all aspects of student-athlete welfare, which is a more than full-time job in and of itself, a role that includes overseeing the sports medicine, strength and conditioning. He's also the team chaplain for both the football and men's basketball program. I know on both NCAA championship runs, Father's relationship with the student athletes was very, very publicized, and Villanova is blessed to have a man of this character in the role he has. Father Rob first came to Villanova in 2003 as the assistant athletic director for compliance, and was promoted to his current position 4 years ago. He was ordained to the priesthood in September 2003. After graduating from Villanova in 1987 with a Bachelor's of Arts degree, he went on to earn a JD from Widener University School of Law in 1990. He spent a number of years in both criminal defense, and also spent 7 years with the firm of Gillen & Associates. He's a past member of the Philadelphia Bar Association, the Delaware County Bar Association, and the Delaware County Association for Criminal Defense Lawyers. Father Rob currently resides on Villanova's campus. He does probably 50 masses a week, mm-hmm. and he assists on weekends at St. Paul's Parish in South Philadelphia. And this is someone who's been really, when I look at the growth that's taken place in my own faith over the last 10 years, I don't think anybody's been more influential in my own journey than this guy right here. He has been amazing to me, for me. I tell people he's been with me through all cycles. He baptized one of our children down at St. Augustine's 19 years ago, and then certainly was there for me when my mother passed last mm-hmm. year. He's the most humble person I know, and nobody I know that exudes the Christ-like humility more than Father Hagen. So, Father Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me. I remember when you were coaching at Villanova, and we had more than a number of conversations in my office about things other than football.
Sure.
You know, and I watched you get into the theology and get your degree and study it up and just really pursue your faith journey. Has just been a joy to watch you take that into, sports and your family and business and everywhere else you've gone.
I appreciate that. And you were such a big part of that for me. Folks, our topic tonight is being in this world, but not being of this world. You know, Christ challenges us challenges us with that. We hear in 1 John 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, certainly pretty, I don't want to say, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Kind of like a little bit of a smack in the face with that right there, right? Because it's hard to be, you know, it's easy, certainly easy to get caught up in certainly the worldly things, whether it's relationships or accumulations of things and stuff like that. But I'm excited to delve into that in the next hour. But before we get started, let's begin with your own discernment process, Father Rob. I think one of the great things about your journey is if there's one word I would use for you in your ministry and why you're so impactful for people like me and so many people out there, you know, your humility and your ability to meet people where they are. And I think a lot of that has to do with your own journey, you know. So let's start off with talking about your own discernment process. Obviously, you're in law school. You're embarking on a crazy great start of a law profession, and then the Lord calls you, you know, gets hit by the bolt of lightning and knocked off the horse here. So let's talk about that if we can for a couple minutes.
Sure, Joe. I mean, I was raised in a Catholic family. You know, and I know there are probably some parents listening here, and never underestimate the seeds that you plant within your children. And my dad passed away when I was younger, and even when he was alive, he wasn't always around. So I was raised by a single mother and three sisters, and my mom had, you know, tremendous faith. You know, so, you know, the high holidays, you know, Catholic school, you know, prayers in the house. And it wasn't just a Sunday deal. You know, I watched my mom take great strength through the obstacles and adversities and the ups and downs of life. Mm. I saw that witness. You know, it wasn't just, you know, you got to go to Mass on Sunday.
Sure.
You know, and if we did go to Mass on Sunday, a lot of kids say, you know, your mom would say, you know, make sure you bring home the bulletin.
Yeah. No doubt.
I wasn't bringing home the bulletin. She said, what was the gospel about?
I bet.
But I witnessed that, and it was implanted within me. And of course, when you're a kid and then you get to high school and you get to college, you know, I was one of those guys that was a little more reluctant about kind of being out there with my faith. Mm. You know, so as you know, I'm an Augustinian. And Augustine, you know, he was a sinner before he was a sinner.
Sure.
And he tried this and he tried that and he went down a lot of different roads until he kind of came to that conclusion that, you know, this is all kind of like drinking salt water. You know,
sure.
It's just making me thirstier.
Yeah.
You know, and so I actually had that experience in my life. You know, I graduated. I did go to Villanova, so I met some Augustinians there and I think some seeds were planted there. But I did go on and get the law degree, and I was practicing and had a good life, and I was making money, and in a lot of ways I was helping people. But those seeds of religious practice and doing the right thing and understanding that grace is a powerful force, and we need forgiveness. And, you know, sometimes I would get lost, or, you know, Augustine would say, our hearts are restless until they rest in you.
Amen.
And so I lived in that restlessness as I pursued a lot of the things that we all chase, right?
Sure.
We chase championships, and we chase jobs, and we chase money, and we chase, you know, relationships. And so this story of Augustine kind of resonated with me. And then seeing the peace and the strength that, you know, as I said, you know, that my mom took from her faith, I said to myself, this is a tool that I want in my toolbox.
Mm.
And so, you know, whether I was practicing the law or, you know, starting to succeed a little bit, make some money, I found myself desirous of what Augustine would say, something more. And so, like you said, you know, a lot of people do describe a call like, you know, it was a lightning bolt.
Sure.
Know? And so thinking that that's what a call was, I just assumed I wasn't.
Sure.
You know, because I never got knocked off my horse.
Yep.
I was never on a horse,
yep.
You know. And what I came to realize was, and I often talk to married couples now as they're preparing for marriage, you know, how'd you know this was the one? You know, and it's more of a gradual kind of whisper, maybe just a comfortable understanding. This feels right in my life, you know? And so when I left the law firm to enter the Augustinian Formation Program, a lot of people were like, whoa, what happened?
Sure.
But for me, it was just the next logical step in this long continuum of God kind of pulling me along. And a lot of things that I did as a lawyer, I do now as a priest. You deal with people in tough moments in their life. You got a whole crisis. You got a hold of confidentiality. You know, you work through the system. And hopefully you provide support. You know, so all of those experiences in our lives are preparing us for the next one.
Sure.
And what I discovered was there's kind of a thread in and through it all, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know?
That's awesome. That really is. In terms of other, you know, your mother obviously been a huge influence over you in terms of your faith formation. Is there anyone else that you would say you would credit to have and say, man, that person had a profound impact on me?
Yeah. I mean, and thanks for asking because, you know, everybody, a lot of people are talking about Father Bill Atkinson right now. He's an Augustinian.
Yep.
He passed away in 2006, and he, as a lot of people would know, and many who don't should, he was the first quadriplegic ever ordained a priest.
Yep. Had to get permission from Rome, right?
Yes, and I know you know Steve McWilliams, wrote a wonderful book about his life. And well, and God willing, he'll be canonized a saint.
Sure.
But, you know, before any of that, you know, when he was just Father Bill teaching at Bonner High School, and I didn't go to Bonner, I went to the rival school, Cardinal O'Hara.
Sure.
But his nieces and nephews are all good friends of mine.
Okay.
So what happened to me was I'd be at a Super Bowl party, literally.
Sure.
You know, and he'd be in the basement, you know, and if you sat next to him and his beer was there, then you poured the beer into his mouth.
Sure.
You know, and if the bowl of chips was there, you took some chips and fed him the chips. And he became this regular guy who was the uncle of my friends that I met through family situations. And as I watched him live his life, you know, a quad, he never got out of the wheelchair, and he was an uncle, and he was a priest, and he was doing weddings and funerals, and he was teaching at Bonner, and he was a chaplain to the football team, the basketball team, and all the lives that he touched. And this guy wasn't complaining.
And his brother played in the NFL for a
His brother years. Al played for Villanova.
Villanova Hall of Famer, yeah.
And was the captain of the defense when Joe Namath was the captain of the offense on that team.
That's awesome.
So being around him and seeing the joy that he took from being an Augustinian priest and the strength that he took from his faith, again, not hanging out with him in religion class or in church, but just seeing him in everyday situations, it really left a profound effect on me.
That's awesome.
And when you get ordained, one of the great honors that you know ask another priest to do is present you with your stole. So the stole is that garment that the priest wears. And at my ordination, Father Bill presented me with my stole.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. And the homily you gave, I Googled it like a month and a half ago. My wife and I watched. That was like unbelievable. It was right in Villanova Church. It's old, obviously, because it was years ago.
On his anniversary.
On his anniversary. Yeah, that was powerful.
Thank you.
You've given a number of great ones, but that's got to be in your top two or three. Let's talk about, you know, obviously I'm kind of prejudicial to the Augustinians, but you know, knowing a couple different orders fairly well, like it just seems like the brotherhood with the Augies is just different than, you know, it's just hard as an outsider. There's something about the Augustinians that's like, it's comfort. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just comforting. There's synergy there, you know, and not that like there's a ton of people that look like you or act like everyone's kind of hasn't sacrificed their own identity, but it's an unbelievable, all orders are special, obviously. But when you decided to become an Augustinian, was it based on your Villanova influence? Was that what it was?
It was because, you know, I grew up, I went to St. Dot's and Drexel Hill, went to O'Hara, you know, and as we said, you know, I grew up in a family that was practicing the faith. But when I got to Villanova, what really helped me was it crossed my mind, the notion of becoming a priest. And then I easily dismissed it.
Sure.
You know, because I thought, well, you know, that's what the holy guys do. You know, that's what the guys who are, you know, kind of in church 24/7 saying their prayers, and that's where they spend all their time. And I thought, that's not really who I think I am. And then I met, you know, people like Father Peter, who was the chairman of the theater department. you know, Father Stack, you know, was the VP for student life.
Sure.
You know, at that time, he was the dean of students, you know?
Sure.
Father McGuire was like the
These are pipe swingers.
These guys were like, but they had jobs that gave them an entree into people's lives.
Sure.
And they were priests.
Sure.
You know? And so I started, you know, Father Joe Calderon was a Navy chaplain.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and so it expanded my understanding of the priesthood, that there's a sacramental piece to it.
Sure.
And but there are ways that you can minister, right? You know, in as teachers and all these different ways that I discovered through the Augustinians that I met. And then, you know, the other thing being that, you know, Augustine did not want to be, well, he resisted being a Catholic.
Sure.
And then
he used to crucify his mother, Monica,
get away from me.
Yeah.
You know, and then he didn't want to be a bishop either.
Sure.
They really called him to that. And he said, for you, I'm a bishop, with you, I'm a Christian. And so that notion of like, there's not like we're above
sure.
as much as with. And I like that understanding that, you know, as religious, but as fellow brothers and sisters,
sure.
that we're kind of all on this faith journey together, you know, and I know you know, as a coach and being so immersed in athletics, you know, there's some days that you want to work out, but I don't.
Sure.
But I go because you get me to go.
Sure.
You know, and then the other days that maybe I'm going and you're not into it, and together we keep each other in shape.
And you feed each other.
Yeah.
You're feeding off
yeah.
of each other.
And I think that's the same in the faith, you know, to have a community of brothers and sisters and a parish and a family of people who kind of collectively help each other, you know, practice.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, as Augustinians in community, you know, that's what we do in the morning, with morning prayer and evening prayer. And, you know, we're not all in these Augustinian houses because we're all best friends.
Sure.
But because we believe in, and there's a common denominator
Absolutely.
that unifies us in the Holy Spirit and in our desire to be followers of Jesus Christ.
That's awesome. You know, your ministry, and taking nothing away from your fellow Augies, but your ministry is so public. You know, I would diminish what you're doing by calling it a high profile position, but you're the senior associate AD, your team chaplain, obviously Villanova basketball, you know, the chemistry that was shown in both the 16 and 18 run, and you were such a big part of that. The infinite number of weddings and baptisms and funerals that you do in the calendar year, you know, and folks, I'm going to tell you, nobody is more in demand in the faith than Father Rob Hagen, because he touches so many lives and people, and he's always ministering. And like whether the happy times of baptisms and weddings or the devastating times, we're just talking about one of his, you know, one of the coaches over at Villanova just lost her husband to a heart attack. I mean, he's there for the good and the bad. But knowing that you're so present for your constituencies, like how do you find the ability to recharge and recenter and refocus? Because you know it's got to be challenging because you're always on. You know you always have to be present and with that. You know, the bar's so high, people are like, you know, people are expected, you know, literally, you know, the loaves and the fishes to come out when you're present. So
I will say one of the blessings in life for any of us really is to be able to love what you do, you know, and you know, whether you're in coaching or in business or a teacher, to be able to love what you do will give you some energy and some juice, right, to want to get up in the morning and go do it. So to be able to minister to student-athletes, to students, to, you know, 18 to 22-year-olds on a regular basis with the questions and the enthusiasm and the companionship that offers you every day is a real opportunity that really gets you going.
Sure.
Now, that said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
there's the practical side of it, too.
There are, you know, and so, you know, I would say two things. One, it's really important to have good friends. And I think that, you know, in the communities that I was fortunate to come through, whether it was, you know, St. Dot's and O'Hara and Villanova and just the friendships that you make along the way, to be able to, you know, grab a dinner with somebody or go for a run with somebody and just decompress with
sure.
somebody. You know, Augustine, friendship was a core value.
Absolutely.
Augustine wrote and preached a lot about friendship.
Yep.
Because he knew how hard it is to follow the gospel. And so it's important to have that love and support that we take from, you know, from real, real good friends.
So no doubt.
I've been blessed with that in my life, and that's helped me when I've been really busy.
Sure.
You know? But then the other thing, and I try to pass this on to the kids, to the students, and that is there is something that a lot of what we might identify as great leaders have in common, you know, whether it's Winston Churchill, you know, Abraham Lincoln, John Paul II.
Sure.
You know, Father Peter.
Yep.
Jay Wright.
Yep.
A appreciation for solitude. That as busy as these people are who are out front, and, you know, lights on and really in demand and performing at a high level in front of,
audience.
great demands of people is a, and Jesus did this all the time, right? You see it in the time.
He'd do a bunch of miracles, then he would go off by himself.
Yeah. I mean, if you look in the Gospels,
it was Sunday.
Went to a deserted place.
Absolutely.
Right? And every time, I mean, before he picked the disciples, before he healed, after he healed, before he went to the cross,
yep.
you know, common theme. He went into the boat to pray. He went up the mountain to pray. He went into the desert to pray. He went into the garden to pray. And it was from that solitude that he was able to commune with the Father and really connect and commit to his purpose. Remember in Sunday's gospel, he says, it is for this purpose that I have come.
Yeah.
Because everybody was tracking him down because
sure.
it was like, fix this, fix that.
Absolutely.
You know? And it was like, look, he didn't want to be known as a fixer.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be known as a celebrity. He wanted to stay true to his purpose and
yep.
his mission. And I think where that comes is when we shut out the noise and we turn off the phone and we take a walk or we do the Stations of the Cross or we pick up the rosary or you take a walk on the beach and you commune with your spirit and talk to God. Augustine says prayer is conversation with God. And
Amen.
So a lot of people will ask all the time, well, what prayers do you say? Just talk to God. If you got problems, tell God your problems. If you're trying to overcome a sin or a mistake, tell God you're sorry. You know, if you got a project or a presentation or anxiety coming up, you know, about tomorrow, tell God about that. You know, and lead us not into temptation to worry,
sure.
temptation to beat myself up over the past, and to really allow God to do what God does when we don't have all these other things and noise in the way.
Yeah.
So I know myself. You know, when I'm not right, you know, somebody cuts me off in traffic. I got two responses, right? I can throw up a gesture,
sure.
right? Or I can turn on the radio and say, have a nice day.
Sure.
You know, and depending on where I am
no
centered
doubt.
Is going to dictate how I respond. And so I can feel sometimes in the course of my day, my week, my month, my year, you know, Do I need to take a walk? Do I need to take a chill? Do I need to? And sometimes you don't have the luxury to go on a 10-day vacation.
Sure.
You know, maybe it's 5 minutes deep breathing before you go into your next meeting.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And allow God to lead.
It's amazing for me. I'm 52, and you know, through we were talking about Margaret Mell, and she was really, I think Father. I mean, excuse me, Ed Hastings and Margaret Mell were my two kind of co-advisors in my program, and they couldn't have been more opposite.
Thanks.
But Margaret, like, really taught me, you know, contemplative prayer.
Yeah.
You know, like the
yeah.
need to, you know, because I'm a talker, you know, and you know, there's, you know, I would, and the benefit, the blessing of having...
it's a skill.
It is.
Yeah.
And with our faith, one of the great things is you have the rosary, you have the novena. So we're constantly talking, right? We're doing so much talking.
That's
but
true.
Then being able to actually listen, just to open up your heart and you know be still and know that I am Lord, right?
Yeah.
It's like the stillness, the quiet. I know for me in the last really 2 years, Father Rob, it's like I wake up and I try and just sit in my chair.
Yeah.
And I'll read a rosary and then
yeah.
I'll sit for like 10 minutes by myself. And on days when I don't do that,
It's different.
The whole day's off.
Yeah.
The whole day. It's like
not working out.
It really is. Yeah. And I'm now giving the gesture instead of turning on the radio. Right, I'm serious. It's like there's something that, and I look back at all those years. I don't want to call them wasted years, but like where you can't talk and listen at the same time. No. It's not possible. You know, and just sometimes just saying, "Hey, Lord, you know, my stillness, just fill me, you know, fill me with your word so that like I can show that when I in my day, you know, and it's just, it took me 50 years to learn that.
Me too. Yeah.
And I remember.
Or you forget.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I had kept, we were talking about some of the people I had on the show, but I had Kevin Riley on the show too. He was like, yeah, he was awesome.
Love him.
And we were talking about, you know, one of the things he wanted to touch on, and I said, I don't want you to steal. At some point, I'm going to ask Father Rob to come on here, and I want to make sure you don't steal his thunder. But we were talking about how, you know, you're I am the vine, you are the branches, and you gave it lights out homily with regard to that. You held your cell phone in the air, and you know, and I think like you know, as we're talking here about being in this world but not of this world. You know, the need, and you challenged everyone in the audience that day, like, you know, hey man, just strip it away, right? Peel back the onion, like strip all the noise, you know, the physical noise and the emotional noise, strip it away. And old timers like me are able to do that. And not great, but at least because we came up in a different time and place with technology and all that. And I look at my own, three children, and the challenge is where it's literally, we all pride ourselves on multitasking, right? Yeah. I can be at a meeting on a Zoom. I can be confirming, you know, in an email that we have an interview tomorrow, so and so. And you know, we all say, hey, you know, work hard, not don't work harder, work smarter. And our need to kind of just be doing 5,000 things.
Yeah.
But just the stillness and stripping away some of that stuff. Talk about that, like that. You know, the need to kind of just put the cell phones away and just kind of dial in into your relationship with Christ.
Yeah, I think it's very hard to be anyone these days, but particularly a young person. Mm. You know, we didn't grow up with a lot of that distraction.
No.
You know, and you know, everybody has a phone, and these phones are they're incredible gifts and great technology and enable us to do a lot of things. But it is immediate distraction, you know, at your fingertips. And it's hard to resist that. I think a lot of kids these days don't know how to, you know, shut it down.
Sure.
And, you know, we talk about hearing the voice of God, but in order to hear, you know, we have to shut out a lot of the other noise in our life. And that's not easy to do these days, you know, and I hate to say it because it's so unfortunate that this pandemic has come into our lives in almost a year now we've been dealing with this. But the word quarantine, you know, actually means 40 days. You know, it comes from, you know,
the desert.
Where you would just, you know, isolate.
Sure.
You know, for a purpose, you know. And so my hope is that, you know, as we thank, you know, our healthcare workers and all those who are really working hard to fight this virus, and, you know, vaccine coming out and the progress that can come from something like this, that some more of the progress will be a appreciation for the ability to slow it down.
Sure.
To shut it down. You know, I did this thing in terms of like a skill, tools in the toolbox for a pandemic, and it's kind of like under the umbrella protect, you know, PROTECT.
Sure.
Right. Pray. Right. Conversation with God. You know, we just got a little more time to talk it out with God. R, reflect. You know, Augustine was big about reflecting, taking some wisdom out of the experiences that we're dealing with.
Yep.
Oh, man, third grade nun. You know, offer it up, right? Offer it up. You know, there's somebody that has it worse than we do.
Absolutely.
You know, and be thankful. You know, all of us can find something to be thankful for, to be grateful. When you choose gratitude, your attitude changes.
Absolutely. Right?
You know, exercise, right? Get moving. Exercise your body. Exercise your faith. Is there some practice? You know, I'll be honest with you. I got to a period in my life where I wasn't as, you know, practicing of the rosary.
Sure.
And then quarantine, you know, I had a little more time, and I, you know, cleaning out your drawers, right, and have a Rhino rosary, and I re-embraced the rosary.
That's awesome.
And it really, you know, helped me exercise my contemplative life a little bit more. So P-R-O-T-E-C, check in with somebody, right? You know, a grandmother, a neighbor, somebody we know is struggling.
Who sure.
Could, you know, and then T, take three deep breaths. You know, just like we were saying. You know, I don't have time for a 10-day vacation, but you know what? I'm going to breathe in the spirit and breathe out whatever else is sure. in me that doesn't need to be there.
The toxicity.
And so,
yeah.
And so protect, you know, is these, you know, kind of tools in our toolbox that maybe we've been asked to re-grab onto through this pandemic that we can take because, you know what, better days ahead.
Right?
This is going to clear up. We're going to get, our lives are going to get busier. We're going to come back together. We're going to be able to hug each other again. We're going to get, you know, the noise will come back.
Sure.
But maybe we can hang on to some of those practices.
That's good stuff. I wrote that down. I'm going to use that too. Offbeat what we were talking about. I get nervous because the public worship is such a big part of my you know what, let's take a commercial break and we'll come back because I don't want to rush this point. But right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Father Rob Hagen, Associate AD at Villanova, and Augustinian priest, and he's so much more than that for those of us that are blessed to know him personally and the work that he does. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in the next 90 seconds.
Hey, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
My name is Peter Marsico. My agency from the Knights of Columbus is sponsoring this hour. Like the Knights of Columbus, in listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, guests and callers, the love of Christ is being spread to so many people. More than ever, the world needs Catholic radio stations like this. Being a member of the Knights of Columbus, the largest Catholic fraternal organization in the world, charity is our most important principle. What better way to give so that so many people can hear the word of Christ? To learn more about the Knights of Columbus, visit kofc.org. That's short for Knights of Columbus. You can also contact me, peter.marsico, M-A-R-S-I-C-O, at kofc.org, or by phone, 609-927-5848. Take care and God bless.
Hello and welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Traynor, here along with Father Rob Hagen from Villanova University. Peter, I want to thank you for your sponsorship of tonight's program, the Knights of Columbus. I know you do great work there, and Father Rob and I were just talking about the need for, you know, organizations that kind of that keep the bar high. You know, I know, you know, I just think that that's so important, and especially with men, because we're so flawed. And I look at my own life, like if I'm not dialed in daily, I'm like one right turn away from like just going off the deep end, you know, and that's, I really, the need for that, that nourishment, like, you know, not just, you know, almost hourly, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, cause if not, like I'm lost and I'm a wayward soul, you know, but, thank you for that, Peter. And certainly the Knights of Columbus and the great things you do. Father Rob, we talked a little bit about it, like, you know, you've been doing this a long time now, and, you know, outside of technology, you know, is there any difference you would point to, you know, working with young people in 2021 as opposed to, you know, working with young people in 98, 99? Is it pretty consistent, or have there been any differences? Or,
I mean, if you were to put it in a, kind of a positive and a negative, I would say positively, they're incredibly interconnected. You know, they're just, you know, globally, you know, they text with people
sure.
in another country, right?
And, if they weren't in your neighborhood 30 years ago, you didn't know, right?
Exactly. You know, we grew up in like a 30-mile radius. They're talking, you know, all over the world.
Sure.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing. I think they're much more, they have a much greater appreciation for diversity, you know, yep. For the same reason. They're not just in the provincial, you know,
sure.
where they live. But, and so that's all positive, you know. And really hopeful for this next generation.
Absolutely.
You know, I do think that, you know, I would say that anxiety is as high as it's ever been. You know, that they're, and this is pre-COVID.
Sure.
You know, but
no
certainly
doubt.
Amplified
yep.
since. That there's just a fear, not necessarily easily identified, you know. Not directly attributable to any one thing, just a general sense of dread that not everything's going to work out okay. And, you know, so like we'll often talk about, you know, crisis in Greek means opportunity, you know. And so we have a pandemic. We have a crisis of confidence, a crisis of anxiety. Well, where's the opportunity? And I truly believe that there is an opportunity here. And I often use it if, you know, someone will come to me, you know, because they're, you know, they their heart's not settled, they're restless, they're to write it, kind of reintroduce them or maybe introduce them to a God who loves you.
Amen.
A God who forgives you. A God who has a plan for you. A God who says, I will never abandon you.
Mm.
A God who doesn't pile on when you make a mistake, you know. For a lot of people, like, you know, this is the good news, but a lot of people didn't hear that good news.
Sure.
And so, you know, with platforms like you're using here and, you know, in the schools that we work in and coaches that we know and certainly in the sacramental life and in the life of the church, you know, we have an opportunity to be as relevant now more so than ever.
So true.
Because there, you talk about nourishment, there's a hunger and a thirst for what Jesus has to offer.
Amen.
And people are seeking it, just like Augustine, in other ways, in other places, and they're not being fed, and they're not being nourished, and they're leaving hungry and thirsty. And so the good news is we have an opportunity to maybe introduce this to them in a way that says, you know, maybe you tried it, you forgot about it, maybe you never did.
Sure.
And and so that's what I'm finding, you know, whether it's, you know, live streaming Mass. Well, I don't go to Mass. Or I went to Mass, and, or, you know, I used to go, and something happened, and I haven't
sure.
been back. And it's a way for people to put their toe in the water without maybe necessarily going in person.
Sure.
And because of the pandemic, it became very easily accessible. And you know, you can log on to St. Patrick's Cathedral, or you can log on to Villanova live
sure.
stream, or, you know, you couldn't go to your friend's wedding because they could only have 50, but they live streamed it and you were able to plug in that way. And so, you know, we were talking about technology, there is a way to reach people who are searching and are willing to maybe use technology in a way because they didn't want to go in person.
Sure.
That said, there's no substitute for that kind of personal interaction. And the sacramental life, if you really think about the sacraments, they were all personal interaction.
Sure.
I mean, well, what's baptism? It's a cleansing. Like you get washed, right?
Yeah.
Or cleaned up, you know, physically refreshed, right? You know, the Eucharist is a meal, to share a meal with somebody and break bread, you know? And I've found personally in my life as a priest that I make sure my pyx is full. A pyx would be something that you Eucharistic ministers carry, that you can hold the host, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, for good reason now, have been unable to get to church.
Sure.
You know, whether it's, you know, fear of the virus or,
health problems.
Yep. You know, weather now.
Yep.
And to be able to be in somebody's presence and offer them the Eucharist, their face just lights up.
That's
because,
awesome.
You know, and so, you know, kind of absence makes the heart grow fonder. My hope is, as we start to come out of this pandemic, that we have an opportunity maybe for some renewal, you know, for people to say, you know, I got away from that, or I missed it, or I want to reconnect in a new way. And, you know, kind of like when you come out of the quarantine,
sure.
You come out of the desert.
It's a kinda, rebirth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I gotta hope for that. We gotta
Absolutely.
Hope for that. Right?
I know for me, like, there's nothing, there. You said it, there's no substitute for that communal component. Like, it's like one of my friends who I hold dear to my heart, he challenged me like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, because I was, there was probably a string of like 3 or 4 homilies that I didn't sink my teeth into. And he's like, first of all, you're missing the point. You go because of the miracle that takes place.
Exactly.
With the body and the blood being converted, you know, the bread and wine being converted. And that kind of stuck with me. That was kind of a slap in the face in a good way, because I was like, that you can never, like,
don't reduce it to
no, absolutely. Don't you reduce it to the humanity of someone's ability to speak.
Yeah.
You know, or entertain,
yes.
So to speak.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but we go there like, say, hey, entertain me. You know, what's my juice? Stimulate me. You know, and that's the whole that you're. I was when I do those times that I do that, I'm missing the real reason why I go. But it does scare me, Father Rob. Like, I know, you know, our parish is the numbers are there in terms of parishioners, but you know, I'm just concerned about what the next 3 to 5 years look like.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but I mean, I know when our kids, you know, when we get up and we go as a family, you know, I know that to your point about your mother's, you know, the way she lived her life, you know, you hope that 25, 30 years from now that they're, you know, that they'll look back on those times. Because like all relations, you know, you listen to Mother Teresa, right? There's, you know, there's ebb and flow with every relationship. You know, there's days when I feel like I am dialed in and God, Christ is sitting like right across from me, you know, I feel like everything I'm doing emanates that. And then there's days when I'm like, you know, I'm dark and like, I'm just, I don't feel any of his presence, you know? And, but you're just staying in the routine of practice and performing and being open to the relational component of it, I think, is important. To your point earlier, it's like exercise.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you feel like you when you're running, you're walking on air and you feel great and you had a great run. And then there's other days where you're like, man, that wasn't, you know, that was a big time labor there today, but you're glad you did it.
Yeah.
You know, because the next run will be one of those great runs.
Exactly. You know? And you use the word routine, and I think that's a good word.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, you see it in sports.
Absolutely.
You know, the way you structure a practice and the routine of practice and the daily grind. You see it a lot in the military.
Yep.
You certainly see it in religious life. And to be able to, you know, Aristotle, we are what we repeatedly do.
Yeah.
You know, and to create good habits. And habit is overcome by habit. So if you got some bad habits, okay, you know, what can we replace
Absolutely.
It with? You know, and there are the challenges that we have right now to be able to, you know, you're right. Not every day feels like the 4th of July.
Sure.
And I talk to a lot of married couples, you know, and, you
sure.
know, it's a commitment.
It's a grind, yeah.
Yeah. And it takes grace.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's all the more reason to do it, because it's like Father Bill, you know, had a quote from Augustine on the wall opposite his bed. So when he got up every morning he saw this on an old piece of wood, this quote from St. Augustine. And it said, give me, what did he say? Give me the, help me do what I can do. May I do what I can do. And may you give me the grace to do what I cannot.
Powerful.
You know, so
that's awesome.
I'm going to do what I can, but then I'm going to trust that you're going to provide me the grace to do what I can't
do. That's awesome.
You know, and I think for a lot of us, especially like you said, like, you know, in this world, you got to be strong. You got to be in it. We celebrate Independence
Sure.
Day, right? We don't celebrate Dependence
No.
Day, right?
No.
And Jesus was, his whole life was celebrating Dependence Day.
Sure.
Like, look, you've got gifts, but why don't you lean on me? Too,
absolutely,
right? and each
particularly
other,
particularly males too.
Right? Oh yeah,
it's like, I feel like that's why, you know, you need, you know, my generation, they didn't even feel comfortable asking for directions from, you know, the passenger. You
thank
know
God
I mean?
For GPS.
Yeah, right. So it's like, but we feel like, you know, you can do it on your own, and unfortunately, there's a sense of weakness when you feel like you reach out.
But yeah.
Certainly, like, I know there's no, when I see what I deem as strong people, you know, bow to the Lord and kneel and worship, it's like, it's, there's nothing more powerful for
no.
me than that.
And there's no shame in failure.
No.
There's no shame in making mistakes.
Definitely.
Mean, you know, you can point to many a successful person who has, you know, lost games, lost elections, failed the bar, you know, and just persevered.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, that's really what it is. I see it with a lot of our athletes. It's not always the most talented team.
No doubt.
It's the
you
one who just kept
yeah.
on coming.
Yeah.
Right? And that takes something more than just our own ability, you know?
Absolutely. I was thinking when you were talking about St. Teresa of Avila, I took a class with Father Laird.
Oh, yeah. Contemplative.
Very yeah. dialed in, very contemplative. But St. Teresa of Avila talks about the interior castle, right? Just keep dialing in, you know, and you're in the castle. There's this really big castle, and you're, you know, the goal spiritually is to get to the center of the castle, right? You know, and just kind of
yeah.
just keep, you know, you go from room to room, and, you know, you kind of just, you have to keep going to the center. But you talk about ritual, you know, and I think when I talk to my non-Catholic friends, you know, certainly to respect and appreciate their journey as well. But one of the many beauties of our faith is there's so many different areas to pay worship, you know. And, you know, we talked about a couple of them prior to us going on the air. You have adoration, you have novena, you have stations of the cross, you have confession for sacramental grace. Mm-hmm. You know, you have so many different areas, and there's such beauty in all of them.
Yeah.
You know, in your faith formation, or you talked about kind of reconnecting with the rosary, are there any of the, other than the mass, the participation or performing at mass, are there any ones that stand out for you on your own personal journey?
Well, one of the great gifts that we also have in our faith is the communion of saints. You know,
no
and
doubt.
I like to tell the kids, it's like our Hall of Fame.
Sure.
You know,
no
like
doubt.
You put up, you know, people that say they did it really well.
Sure.
You know, and I think sometimes Catholics can get a bad rap because it's like, well,
you're
you worshiping the saints?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And it's like, no, we're worshiping God, but you honor God when you honor God's friends.
Absolutely.
And these are people who
well said.
who mirrored the light of Christ, you know, and they were human beings and we know that. But boy, can you take inspiration from, find somebody who had a struggle similar to yours.
Sure.
Find somebody who overcame something that, you know, that you're trying to overcome. You know, there's tons of them out there. God willing, Bill Atkinson will be
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
To think that we don't have a saint right now for those with disabilities, you know, someone to hang on to.
Take and, intercession with
and
them.
you can really have a friendship with that. And you know, for me, you know, real quick, I mean, I'm in the order, you know, I'm a you know, first guy, freshman kind of thing, just entered and I don't know what's going on, and it's May 22nd. We're having this big feast day in a celebration in the order for the Augustinians. And May 22nd happened to be my birthday.
Okay.
But I knew it wasn't a party for me.
Certainly not as a novice.
No, exactly. It's the Feast of St. Rita. And I got to tell you, Joe, when I discovered that connection, that I was born on the Feast of St. Rita, and I dove into Rita's life, she's a patron of impossible causes. She's known as a peacemaker. she wanted to become an Augustinian nun at a young age, and her parents got into an arranged marriage. And the marriage wasn't great, and she had two kids, and ultimately, later in life, she was widowed and then entered the Augustinian convent. So she's a wife, she's a mother, she's a religious. She struggled. She knew loss within her family. She was known as a reconcile within her family. And the more I got to know Rita, the more I kind of felt like this friend interceding in my life.
That's awesome.
And I've spent the bulk of my priesthood kind of introducing people to Rita. So I feel like if I can't help you, maybe she
can.
That's
awesome.
You know?
That is awesome.
And obviously it's through the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. But these are people who serve as examples and inspiration
mentors.
To us.
They're mentors. Yeah.
So I would commend people to explore the intercession of saints. Maybe find somebody that you could relate to and maybe use as a friend or as a mentor as you move through life.
That's awesome. Yeah. We were talking earlier about Dorothy Day, right?
Yeah.
What an amazing story that is, man. It's just... And in Villanova's chapel, they have the beautiful stained glass window.
Beautiful.
And I had, you know what? I was in there 200 times before I realized her story.
Yeah, it's a great story now.
Of humanity,
yeah.
too. Like her, just kept, like to your point, hey, dealing with loss and failed relationships. And obviously, she had an abortion and just kept searching, converted to Catholicism,
yeah.
and just kept searching and kept climbing to, literally to the day she left this earth. She was trying to just continue on the journey and take her relationship with Christ to new heights.
There's a great story about her, Dorothy Day, in that after she had really made a lot of progress with her movement, and she was pretty well known in this reporter,
Catholic Workers Movement.
Yes, yep. and the reporter had come to do a story on Dorothy Day to kind of talk about all this great work that she was doing. And the reporter saw Dorothy talking to this homeless person, and she was trying to get into the interview, and Dorothy turned to the reporter and said, are you waiting for us? And the reporter said she was never more moved than by the use of a pronoun. It wasn't like, are you waiting for me? Do you want to talk to me? She acknowledged this other human being who was with her at the time.
Wow.
Are you waiting for us? And just that whole recognition of how everybody matters.
Awareness, yeah. That's God, definitely from God. We talked a little bit before about, the gift of faith, right? This always fascinates me, and I struggle with it, because I feel like for all my flaws, I was gifted with a faith that is rock solid, right? And it's gotten me through some dark periods personally, professionally, but it's never wavered. And not to say that I've always been a good and faithful servant, because I haven't,
yeah.
but in terms of my faith and my foundation, it's never wavered. So, you have, and if, I guess the one thing I wanted to ask you, we believe that God wills all of us to be saved.
Yeah.
But knowing that we're starting out, and I do believe the seeds of faith are planted in all of us.
Yes.
But some of us have the beneficiary of a gardener along the way. That's watering and weeding out, the weeds and toiling the soil.
Yeah.
And not everyone has that, And I feel like, and I'm not even talking, people in our own lives, right? People that we've that are close to me that just don't share the same journey or the same meaning in their relationship with Christ. It bothers me, not because, and I feel like I feel guilty about it, because I feel like, it's just why am I able to overcome some hardships and kind of potentially funnel that into a different area and offer it up, as you said, but other people aren't.
Yeah, I mean, two things. I think the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Mm. And so, for all of us, I think we are all called to help cultivate that soil. Not just in our own heart, but with others.
Sure.
It really is empowering, because it kind of adds to your vocation. You're not just in business, you're not just in coaching, you're not just in administration, but you're called to really help win souls for Christ.
Sure.
That's a real call that we all have. I do think that the key to the heart does open from the inside. And so I think that there are, obstacles that we put up ourselves.
No doubt.
Because, you know, prodigal son, you know, give me my gifts, I'm going to go, you know? And whether it's pride or ego, ambition, you know. And so I think that those opportunities sometimes come after we've kind of knocked around a little bit, you
sure.
know what I mean? And so often I'll talk to parents, you know, they called Augustine son of tears, right?
Yeah.
Because Monica was coming to the bishop like crying, you gotta help my son. And the bishop was like, look, any son of all these tears and prayers is going to be okay, you know? But, you know, Augustine didn't convert until he was in his late 30s,
yeah.
you know? And so that's faith too, is that just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Sure. One of my sons, and he's one of my sons, they both, all three of my children have taught me a lot about my journey with Christ. But my one son says, dead men don't wrestle. Right? Like,
yeah.
it's like if you're wrestling with your faith,
yeah.
that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
You know, and
yeah.
like the fact that, like, it's not like, God is not asking us to just be obligatorily
right, blind,
steadfast,
yeah,
blind loyalty.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to wrestle, and doubt
yeah.
is part of the process, and moments of weakness, all of it's part of it. But like when he said that, it always stuck with me. Like, dead men don't wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, as long as I'm alive and I'm trying to fight the fight and I'm trying to find answers, you know, and make sense of it all, and I stay down into that relationship,
yeah.
my relationship with Christ.
Sometimes I find the real danger is indifference.
Mm.
You know,
what's the line? The opposite of hate isn't, the opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and that's
yeah.
that's powerful. It's powerful stuff.
And definitely. you can just lose your desire.
Absolutely.
You know, for Augustine, you know, prayer was desire.
Which
know?
That scares me about where we are as a faith right now. It's the indifference. It's not the, you know, it's not the anti-Catholics that scare me as much as the kind of the people that have it on autopilot. And I'm not better than them. I'm not. But that's my fear. Like, it's just people that I know and love that are just kind of indifferent toward the whole thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, once again, kind of like coming out of this pandemic, it's like, well, you know, what have you tried? And what's working?
Yeah.
You know, and if it's not working, maybe you want to try something
yeah.
else or go back to something that maybe
sure.
you forgot. So once again, that's my hope. You know, I really do believe. And you know, you mentioned it earlier too about, you know, we were talking about practices. And I think just one of the more underappreciated gifts in our faith is the sacrament of reconciliation.
Amen.
And I, you know, and I'm privileged to be to be able to participate in that with a lot of people. And, you know, for a kid who hasn't been to confession in 10 years and now he's in college and he just can't find his way out of himself.
Sure.
And to see and feel the peace and the gift that comes from the absolution through the grace of Jesus to be able to say, hey, go in peace, man. Let it go.
And it's sacramental grace too, right?
Yeah.
Like you talked about, I mean, other than, you know, holy orders, you have baptism, like most of those are one-shot deals.
Right.
You know what I mean? The
yeah.
only kind of, the only sacramental grace out there is the sacrament of confession. You
know, Eucharist.
That, yeah. Oh, the
yeah,
Eucharist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The Eucharist.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But like, there's not a lot of different ways you can get sacramental grace. You know, and I if you get a chance, folks, Philip Rivers, who's a devout Catholic.
Interesting.
Yeah. And he gives this commencement speech at Catholic University probably 5 years ago. But he talks about, and it became a mantra for his teams, both in San Diego and Indianapolis. Nuke Chepe. Begin again.
Wow.
You know, and it was the whole thing, like, after, and kind of like nothing, you know, the similarities with sports and spirituality, right? You talk about the routine and all of it. People don't realize how intertwined they are. But like, his whole thing was, you know, hey, we just got our butts kicked yesterday. Hey, you know what? Today's a chance to begin again.
Love it.
And God, you know, Nuke Chepe, God gives us that opportunity every single day.
Love
you, Father Rob. Thanks for all you've done for me personally. And folks, this hour flew by, but I really want to thank Father Rob. He's crazy busy, and for him to take the time to spend with an hour with us tonight really means a lot to me. Folks, I hope you have a great week. God bless, and keep on keeping on. Take care. I'm waiting for the